Is this thing working? We're good? Okay, great.
All right. Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 8, or chapter 1.
Read them both, maybe.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Good. This is going
to
be good.
Chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Amen. Well, Merry Christmas Eve. How's everyone feeling? Yes, feeling good. Tomorrow's the big day. Tyler, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling, you know what? The most prepared I think I've ever been for Christmas.
See, Tyler is prepared. And I've noticed something wonderful about Tyler's outfit, that sweater.
Yes.
He told me something special about that sweater this morning. Tyler, why don't you?
It is 100% reindeer hair.
Wow. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
You talk about Christmas sweaters and Tyler, he goes all out.
It's very comfy.
Yeah,
very
it's a little insulated. Scary though. I mean, reindeer.
Well, don't. Now, I know what you're thinking, but it's not Rudolph. It was just Olive, the other reindeer.
See?
Not Rudolph.
See what we did there? We actually talked about that beforehand. We're like, Olive, the other reindeer. It'd be good. That was good.
Just put you at ease.
Yeah, it was good. So if any of you are new here, my name's David. I'm the worship pastor here. I also do some other stuff. This is Tyler Braun. Tyler's one of our kids' pastors. Give this man a hand. And Nikki Kish can stand up back there. She already got a hand, but she needs a second hand because these guys work incredibly hard all year because we have 1,000 children at this church. I don't know if you know that. So they're actually running a church plant in the gym. It's amazing, growing. They're doing great things over there, which is really, really great. But it's a lot of work, and they are working really hard and doing lots of stuff. And they're here actually putting in a ton of extra time right now as we're working on some policy stuff, and we've got great things coming in Kids Church. But Tyler and I wanted to talk about how to prepare for Christmas. Isn't that right, Tyler?
That's right,
yes. And so Tyler is saying he's very prepared. So what do you do to prepare for Christmas, Tyler?
Well, near the beginning of December, we go out to the mountains and we find ourselves a Christmas tree.
That's incredible.
Just the right tree. It can't be too big.
Yeah.
Also can't be too small. It's got to fit in the house,
but not be
so small that, you know, there's got to be a good diameter underneath for lots of presents.
100%.
Good space. Good
so you're expecting Amy to get you a whole bunch of presents.
Yeah, I am. I am. The high expectations on the presents this
year. Okay, looking forward to the announcement when we come back. That'll be great. Maybe some new reindeer sweaters.
Maybe some new reindeer sweaters.
Which is good. So what do people do to prepare for Christmas is a question we have. So Tyler, why don't you run out, find a few kids.
What?
That maybe put your hand up, kids, if you want to say something that you do to prepare for Christmas.
So what do you do to prepare for Christmas?
Here we go.
Have a feast.
A feast? Really?
Feasts, yes.
Feasts? I like feasts. I like the sound of that.
What else?
What else? What else do we have here? What do you do to prepare for Christmas?
Have presents?
Presents.
Do you buy some presents?
No.
Do you have, yeah? For your family? Oh.
I love that question.
For everybody? Oh, man. All right, what about over here? What about here? What do you do to prepare for Christmas?
Decorate the tree.
Decorate the tree?
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's see here.
Yeah, let's get a couple more here.
Prepare
for Christmas.
More. Oh, here. I think, what do you do, little boy, to prepare
for Christmas? I get a credit limit increase.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Very that's prepared. Right, isn't it? Yeah. Very prepared.
That's good.
All right, maybe just a few more here.
Somebody needs a meeting with Steve.
Wrap presents, yes. You can't just put the presents under the tree, right? That doesn't work. It's got to be some wrapping. Okay, one more here.
All what right, do you one do? More here.
Give out cookies for Santa.
Oh, yes. And maybe something for Rudolph? But not Olive.
Certainly not for Olive this year. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's good, Tyler. I appreciate that. Thanks for the help, Tyler. I couldn't have done this. See? Yeah, that's it. These guys get more claps. And I just wondered how many more things I could ask for applause for. Let's just clap for no apparent reason. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That feels better. This is a level of power I've only dreamed of. This is good. You should just clap for whatever we want. And it feels better, doesn't it? That's good. Well, I'll have you know, I brought a stopwatch because I hear I can get a bit ranty from all our worship. But I was praying about how to prepare for Christmas. And when I was asked to speak, I was asking the Lord, what, Lord, would you have us do this year to prepare for Christmas? And as we were reading our text today, I just couldn't get over the very end. And we've heard it so many times, Emmanuel, that God is with us. And I couldn't get it out of my brain. And it woke me up several times in the night. I felt like the Lord was saying for us as a church that one of the things that God wants us to do to prepare for Christmas and to prepare for the new season is to cultivate an awareness of the presence of God. That God is actually with us. And that we don't think about that in the ways that we ought to. That we say, yeah, God is with us. And we think there's great theological implications of the incarnation, which are wonderful things. But one of the things that God began to show me is what would be different? How would you be different? How would things feel different and change if we knew that even right now and in everything you're doing, you knew that God was with you? And as I sat and meditated on that, I was here late last night preparing, and I was super sick, had a fever. The pills are working now, so you can expect some new revelation, which will be great. And if I get there, they have a big cane in the back to get me out of here. But I was thinking about it. What things change when you actually know in your heart that God is with you? And the Lord reminded me of some stories this year with our family that helped illustrate some things for me. I was talking with Kira, my daughter, and so she said that I could share this. But there was a lot of times earlier this year that Kira was struggling with anxiety. There was some anxiousness around school and around how things were doing with teachers, and it's really hard to navigate that when you're little. And sometimes you just don't really understand exactly what teachers are asking of you. And it was producing this stress and anxiety. And so one night we were at home and we were working on homework, and they do it all online now, so you got to log into this thing and read the homework. And neither of us could understand it. And Missy wasn't home. Missy's the one that's smart with that stuff, and I just couldn't figure it out. But we just couldn't figure out how to complete the assignment. It was like the stuff that we needed wasn't there. And so she felt this great deal of anxiety because the assignment was due tomorrow and we couldn't complete it. And it was very, very real to her. It produced this level of fear that, like, man, I'm gonna have to face this teacher. And I just felt the Lord leading me to just say, you know, Kira, what would be different if I just went with you to school tomorrow? That I walk in the school with you, I hold your hand, and we'll go up to your teacher, and we will face your assignment together. And then I could explain that I don't understand the internet. But there was something about, if Dad's with me, like, even though the assignment still isn't done, What a difference it made. And I could feel her anxiety go down because Dad's gonna go with me. And it didn't completely change the whole thing. We didn't finish the assignment. And if I had, it might have been worse. But the fact that I was with her made all the difference, doesn't it? And I began to think about, oh man, how would Christmas look for us if we actually remembered and cultivated the awareness that God is with us? He's with us right now. He's in this room. And if we actually bent our minds and our hearts toward that God, you're with us, and the things that we face and the situations that we find ourselves, they look very different. Wow, I spit. That was awesome. You can really see that in the light. Sorry about that. I thought the rant was going to be the problem. But what happens when God's with us? And I thought about our situations, and you thought about the many examples in the Bible where God was with them and things changed, right? So it's thinking about the apostles and the wonderful story in Matthew where they're out on the sea and the storm comes and the apostles are terrified because you can imagine that the boat could capsize and they could drown. And they're terrified, but there was one difference. This was one storm that they were in that they had a huge difference, is that Jesus was sleeping in the back. God was with them. And how many of you know that storms aren't storms anymore when God's with you? The difference was outrageous. It was insane. They lost their minds and they came to Jesus and they're like, "Don't you care if we drown?" And Jesus got up and was like, "Shut up," and everything stopped. And suddenly they were like, okay, this is quite different. Because storms are no longer storms if God's with you. Amen? And I thought of the Old Testament. There's some spit again. We're getting serious here. I don't know. I've never seen my spit before. This is insane. But I thought of the Old Testament. Right? So I was thinking of Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den, and lions aren't lions anymore if God's with you. Amen? Suddenly, these things that are ravenous beasts, they're apex predators, they are definitely going to kill you if you're out there. But if God's with you, they do exactly what God says. Right? And how about his buddy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They weren't actually delivered from a fiery furnace. They were thrown in it. But what does it say in the story? It says that there was one more person with them, one that was like the Son of Man. And so suddenly fire wasn't fire anymore, was it? They were in the middle of a furnace. They were in the middle of flames, and flames didn't burn them anymore. Why? Because God was with them. And I felt like God was saying to us, there's something that I want my people in this church to know. I need you to cultivate an awareness that I am with you. And if God is with us, then the things that we face are dramatically different. Amen? And so there's something, it's incumbent upon us as people to actually cultivate that awareness. Because our minds wander, don't they? Because we get into Christmas and we go, I got 13 dinners to go to, amen for that. But I got, thank you. Kids get it. Right? But you got to go to all these dinners and you got to buy all this stuff and you got to increase your credit limit and our mind gets racing. But if we could cultivate awareness that God is with us, then things change. Our demeanor changes. Our spirit changes. And I thought about the many times that the awareness of God's presence changed my situation. I thought about my salvation as a 20-something year old. I'm unaware of time. But I remember being really, really aware that if I become a Christian, all of my friends are going to hate me. They are all going to reject me. And I was really, really aware of the worldly economy. But when I sat in the presence of God, as I was driving around a feed truck, I was listening to my Bible, I was listening to worship music, I became aware that God was with me. And I used to just talk to him every day in the truck. I would tell him about everything I'm fearing. I'm like, God, you don't understand. I'm in a rock band and it's awesome. And if I become a Christian, you kind of lose all that. It's like less awesome, you know, to the world. They're like, you're in a rock band. I'm in a Christian rock band. And the world goes, oh, that's not the same. But it was different when God was with me because the awareness of God with me was like, okay, forget it. I actually don't care what the world had to offer. I thought about, like since then, I've never looked back. I'm a pastor now. And I think about the many times that God's asked me to do things, even things like this, like I gotta get up and I gotta speak in front of people, and I can feel the anxiety rising. I'm like, man, I don't have anything good to say. and I'm not going to sound really good when I say it, and you begin to freak out. But then I've got this new thing that I do if God asks me to do something, like I just get aware of his presence. And so I came here last night, and don't tell Nikki and don't tell Amy, but I plugged in those lights because it was really good ambience, and I just walked around and I became aware of the presence of God. And in the presence of God, he began to speak to me. Here's what I want you to say, son. And suddenly I knew what I had to say because I was aware of the presence of God. The countless times we're prepping a worship list and I'm like, man, do we even know these songs? Are these the right songs for this season? Is this going to inspire people to love you more, Jesus? And when I slip back and I remember to just become aware, oh yeah, you're with me. The lists come together. The songs formulate. I become aware of bridges and choruses and how to sing them and what it should feel like because God's with me. And I thought about one of the hardest times of my life was the passing of my father. And we were around his bedside and we lost him to cancer. And even then, I remember we were all holding hands around his bedside, singing hymns. And the presence of God came into that room and it came so strong that even death wasn't scaring me anymore. It was in the presence of God. It was in the awareness that God was with us, even in that horrifically tragic situation. Him being there allowed me access to what I needed to process that. And I understood the scripture that said, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. I had all kinds of hope because in the presence of God, I could hear God say to me, you know what, David, you love your dad, but I love him way more than you. I have a capacity for love that you don't even know about. I have a plan for your dad that's way, 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 way better than your plan. And God being with me allowed me to access that. When you're aware of the presence of God, it can take away your anger. Right? It can conquer your pride. It can actually grant you the ability to apologize when you need to. It can get you through that Christmas dinner with all your relatives. You see, I feel like God's just saying this to us, that we need to cultivate an awareness that he is with us and it should change things. And the second thing he said to me, he said, I don't want my people just to know that I'm with them. I want them to know that my motivations are good. See, it's not just enough that we know that God is with us. It's enough that we know what he's like. And Jesus led me to the scripture where he said, you know, the Son of Man was not sent to condemn the world, but to save it. Because some of us, when we think about the presence of God, we get a little bit fearful. Man, I do not want the presence of God in this room because I sin. I do not want the presence of God right now because I sin on purpose. And he's going to know and I'm going to feel terrible. But Jesus said, let me just tell you about my motivations. I did not come here to condemn you. I came to save you. I actually came with a message of good news. That's why it's called the gospel. That Jesus came because he knows you sin. He knows you sin on purpose. He knows you're trapped in it. And he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Is that not good news? Amen. So in the presence of God, he says, guys, listen, I am here. I am with you. And here's the other good news. My motivations are good. I came to get you out of this stuff. I came to bring you salvation in all of those places that you've not felt it. And so, look at my stopwatch is working. I'm getting close. We're going to get us out of here early. Amen. Merry Christmas, right? So it leaves us with a question, okay? The question is this. If God is saying, here's what I want you to do for Christmas. I want you to be aware that I'm with you, and I want you to be aware that my motivations are good. The question is, how do we do it? How do we cultivate an awareness of God's presence? It means you got to set aside some time. For some of you guys, it means you're going to get up before your family does and you're going to crack open your Bible, because the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word, that as we're getting in the Word, you're reading about who God is and what God does. It makes you aware of him. Oh yeah, God is like this. God does these kind of things. It gives you access quicker. So for some of you, that's what you're going to need to do. You need to get up early and just start reading the word. Some of you, it might be prayer. You have to get up and you have to bring all of those things that you're afraid of to the Lord. You have to create an environment. Jesus had some specific things to say about prayer. He said, go to your room and lock the door. And that's important. We have that, like we built a room in our house that we could do that because we know if we don't lock the door, we're going to be interrupted. And you can't get to that place of intimacy if you feel like at any moment it could be stopped. So we go into a room, we put a lock on the other side of the door so people can't get in because we got 6 kids. Sorry, guys, love you. But the reality is you need that space. You need to be able to be with Jesus so you can actually talk to him. You can tell him exactly how you feel. And in his presence, he can take that from you. Some of you, it's worship. You need to express thanksgiving, even if you're not thankful just now. Because worship changes environments. It really does. As you confess how wonderful he is, as you begin to step into thankfulness. I was just talking with Nico Deschner this morning. It was wonderful. They've been through some major, major hard stuff this year. But he was telling me about the miraculous change it took when he gets up early in the morning, he grabs his guitar and he's like, I don't feel like worshiping, but he starts singing it out and it changes him. It changes his environment. So each of you is in a different place. Some of you right now are going to connect through the word. Some of you are going to connect through prayer. Some of you are going to connect through worship. But I just want to offer this to you right now. There's a grace available in this season to cultivate an awareness that God is with you. And to hear that his motivations are good. And it will radically change your holiday. And it will radically change our next season. The awareness of the presence of God. So just as we come to the table, I'm going to invite Bishop Todd to come up. I just want us to be saying to the Lord, Lord, how is it this Christmas that I can cultivate an awareness of your presence? How is it when I'm at dinner, can I maybe slip away to the back room and just say maybe some quiet prayers, right? Man, Lord, my mom-in-law, she's always talking to me about that. You know, but you can slip away and you can just give it to him. You can say, Lord, Christmas is actually about you. It's about you with us. How do I get there? Amen.
Thank you, David.